Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship this morning as we walk with Jesus the way of the cross. A couple of quick notes about the service. Once we get into the telling of the biblical story, all of the hymns will be unannounced, when you hear the organ start to play, so that's your time to start getting ready to rise and sing. And at the conclusion of the service, we will exit in silence, as the service this day is not really finished, but we await for what is to come on Easter Sunday. We come in worship this morning as we begin with our opening hymn, Go to Dark Gethsemane. Hymn number 230 in the Book of Praise. Please stand for the call to worship. Today we are called to come and bear witness.
Bear witness to Christ, the humble servant who gave himself for us.
Bear witness to the betrayal and rejection of friends.
Bear witness to the fickle nature of crowds who can be stirred up.
Bear witness to the atrocities borne by an innocent man.
Bear witness to the love of Christ.
Today we are called to come and bear witness to God made flesh, the servant who suffered, so we may be free. The God who calls us here greets us, saying, "Grace and peace to you. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Let us join once more in singing the hymn, "Were You There?" We will sing all but the last verse of this hymn. Christian worship, there is a folding together of time. The past and the future meet together in the present moment. This is particularly evident on days such as Good Friday, when we bring the past into the present and ask, "Were you there?" while holding on to the promise of the future resurrection. So today we are asked to bear witness to the events of Good Friday as we read it from the scriptures. Today, you are being asked to examine yourself, your heart, and ask yourself, where are you in the narrative? Who in the Good Friday drama is reflecting your heart and mind? What is the Spirit saying to you as you enter into this Good Friday drama? The answer to the question of "Were you there?" is yes. But where were you? Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, as we enter into the Good Friday story, reveal to us our own heart so we may recognize ourselves and where we stand in this story even today. Convict us of our fickleness, lukewarmness, and our honed ability for betrayal. Confront us with Christ's torturous death and the role we played in it through all the things we do that we shouldn't, and the times that we have refused to follow your example as a humble servant to all people, regardless of the cost. Nourish in us a growing desire to emulate the Christ we meet on this Good Friday, a Christ who did not shy away from his calling, a Christ who spoke truth to power, a Christ who, despite his own pain, still noticed the suffering of others, a Christ willing to die so that we might live, Christ the suffering servant. Amen.
Oh. After Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to a place where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, because Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas brought a detachment of soldiers together with police from the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was to happen to him, came forward and asked them, "For whom are you looking?" They answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus replied, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they stepped back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "For whom are you looking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you are looking for me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "I did not lose a single one of those whom you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's slave, and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back into its sheath. Am I not to drink the cup that the Father has given me?" So the soldiers, their officer, and the Jewish police arrested Jesus and bound him. First, they took him to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was better to have one person die for the people.
Today we are called to come and bear witness to Christ, the humble servant who gave himself for us.
Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter was standing outside at the gate. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out, spoke to the woman who guarded the gate, and brought Peter in. The woman said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the slave's
and the police had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing around it and warming themselves. Peter also was standing with them and warming himself. Then the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. Jesus answered, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said this, one of the police standing nearby struck Jesus on the face, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered, "If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They asked him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment, the cock crowed. Today we are called to come and bear witness. Bear witness to the betrayal and the rejection of friends.
They took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters so as to avoid ritual defilement and to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered, "If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said to them, Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law. The Jews replied, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill what Jesus had said when he indicated the kind of death he was to die. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So are you a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case against him, but you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" They shouted in reply, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a bandit. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged, and the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they dressed him in a purple robe. They kept coming up to him and saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and striking him on the face. Pilate went out again and said to them, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no case against him." So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." When the chief priests and the police saw him, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no case against him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has claimed to be the Son of God." Now when Pilate heard this, he was more afraid than ever. He entered his headquarters again and asked Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate therefore said to him, "Do you refuse to speak to me? Do you not know that I have power to release you and power to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no power over me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are no friend of the emperor. Everyone who claims to be a king sets him against the emperor." When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside and sat on the judge's bench at a place called the Stone Pavement, or in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of the preparation for the Passover, and it was about noon. He said to the Jews, "Here is your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate asked them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but the emperor." Then he handed him over to them to be crucified. Today we are called to come and bear witness to the fickle nature of crowds who can be stirred up.
Oh, my God.
So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There they crucified him. And with two others, one on each side, with Jesus between them. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, Do not write, the King of the Jews. But this man said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now his tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who will get it. This was to fulfill what the scripture says. They divided my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots. And that is what the soldiers did. Today we are called to come and bear witness. To bear witness to the atrocities borne by an innocent man.
Standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdala. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciples, "Here is your mother." And from the hour, the disciple took her into his own home.
After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scriptures, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there, and so they put a sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished," and then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Today we are called to come and bear witness to God made flesh, the servant who suffered, so we may be free. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, like all those who gathered near your cross on this day, we have been witnesses. May we never forget all that we have seen and heard. And may our lives be forever changed by all that you have done. Like the disciples, we have been witnesses to the death of one we have loved. May we never fail to be moved by the suffering and grief of our world. And in the loneliness of those who have lost it all, help us to stand in silent friendship. Like the crowds, we have been witnesses to the frenzy and hatred of those who differ from us. We pray for the unity of spirit, for the unity of your spirit to manifest itself in our world, that we might strive for common understanding. Like the women, we have been witnesses to the brutality of our world. Protect, O Lord, the vulnerable and the powerless, and enliven us to stand for all who are oppressed. Like the centurion, we have witnessed your suffering on behalf of a broken and fallen world. Like him, may we too see in your loving actions this day nothing less than the very love of God. Come to free us from this world's pain and remind us of the eternal love of God from which not even death can separate us. Hold us secure in that love, O God, as we rest in the silence of your tomb and assure us of the promise of your Easter rising, this day and forevermore. Amen.